Father God, we thank you so much for this morning and just the opportunity to gather together as believers who are saved by you. Thank you so much for the fellowship. Thank you so much for the love that you have poured upon each one of us. And I pray that you would bless this time as we look into the Word of God and help us to realize who you are and what you have done for us, that we can live our lives pleasing to you. And I know we all fall short of that, but pray that you would use this moment, this time, again to work within our hearts. And I commit this time to you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many things in life that cause us to wonder what God is doing. And I'm sure you have all had many moments like that, and I have as well. But the scripture tells us this simple fact, and this verse, or these phrases that I have memorized many times before, should remind us that we don't have to panic. That verse says this: God is good and he does good. It's from Psalm 119:68. God does good. God is good and he does good. And that simple statement, this simple fact, should provide peace and calmness in our hearts. No matter what happens, as we take each step of our lives. And yet, as you all know, and as I myself know, that we can't, or we don't, I should say, we don't remember this very simple fact and apply it to our lives, every moment of our lives. We all have failed to practice this, having calm hearts in our lives as we walk before God. I mean, let me ask you this. How many of you can say, I have been always peaceful? Can you say this? We all have expectations for ourselves, and we make plans and we live our lives thinking this would be the way that we would walk. We would have our lives be set. But many times our life would not go as we plan. Unexpected events often create restless hearts. Challenges of life crushes our confident hearts. And soon the peace that we should have, because we know God is good and he does good, we should have that peace, but that peace vanishes like a shooting star. We all know that and have experienced that. We have no idea how our life shapes out to be. Our knowledge and understanding of life is so limited that it is impossible to know exactly what we get in life. Such limitation, because we don't know every single step of our way, such a limitation of knowledge about our lives often cause us to be anxious, to be worried, to be fearful. And to think about this, I mean, obviously there are plenty of things to worry about in our daily lives, aren't there? Let alone imagining how our future might turn out to be. Uncertainty of life oftentimes overwhelms us. We may have hope, but without knowing how our lives turn out to be, it seems that this hope is so fragile. No wonder so many people today are overwhelmed. No wonder many are trapped in the pit of anxiety. But we also know that it doesn't have to be this way, right? And again, I repeat, because we know God is what? God is good. And He does what? He does good. That's what the Bible says. If you're uncertain about the future, what the future holds, and your heart is troubled, this morning I have a good news for you. If you find yourself in the depth of fear and anxiety, I have a good news for you. No, I'm not going to tell you that all you hope for will become the reality of your life. But I can tell you that you can, and I repeat, you can live your life with tranquility, with the calmness in your heart. It is because the Bible tells us. More specifically, it's because Paul tells us that there is no need or reason for our hearts to be filled with fear and anxiety. He shows us, Paul shows us that we can fill our hearts with peace from the Lord. At the end of the second epistle to Thessalonians, Paul makes a request to God. And again, this prayer, this request at the end of 2 Thessalonians is a request for the church to have this peace. But I believe this is completely applicable even to each single one of us. In this petition Paul makes, we find four reasons. We find four reasons why we should be confident of having peace in our lives. Four reasons why we should be confident of having peace in our lives, so that we live our lives filled with peace. So let us see what the Bible has to say. Okay? I will be reading, we're going to just look at one verse. I'll be reading from 2 Thessalonians 3:16. This is what Paul says. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. I said four reasons. And I will phrase it this way. Because, number one, because we know its source, we can live peacefully. Because we know where the peace comes from, we can live peacefully. The first reason why we should be confident of having peace in our lives is the fact that we know where true peace comes from. It is important that we actually know where the peace originates. The true peace that the Bible talks about. The peace that we can always have in our lives. So let me start by looking at negatively, where it doesn't come from. Okay? And then we'll work our way towards where it comes from. Peace does not originate in and around men. Did you know that? The true peace that we should have, doesn't originate in and around men. The dictionary defines the word peace, and I looked it up on my iPhone, says this: freedom from disturbance. Peace is a freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility. Quiet and tranquility. The synonyms, again, I did look it up too. The synonyms include calmness, tranquility, quietness, bliss, contentment, serenity, etc., etc. You get the idea, right?
In other words, it is a sense of well-being that you have when all goes as planned. Everything goes well, I have peace. That's how the world defines this word peace. We have peace when we feel when everything is going the way we'd like it to go. But the peace Paul is talking about is not this kind of peace. You see that as you look at the context of this book. Consider the situation of the Thessalonian believers, this Thessalonian church, for a moment in this particular epistle. The church was in turmoil and full of fear and anxiety regarding the day of the Lord. They had confusions because the wrong teaching came in to the church of Thessalonica. So they were worried about whether they had missed the day of the Lord. There are persecutions against the believers. Significant persecutions were coming upon the church, and then there were problematic people in the church. Do you think everything was going as planned at this church? Do you think everyone thought, oh, this is such a nice place to be, I am so peaceful? I believe not. How can one have peace in the midst of such circumstances? Not much was going well for the church, in fact, especially on the people of the church. You see, we consider being peaceful means having ideal life sometimes. We're at peace when we do not have any personal conflict. That's why we're peaceful. Or perhaps we're at peace when we have all that we desire to have. But Paul's prayer is for God to grant peace even in the midst of the trials and challenges of life. Even in the midst of trials and challenges of life. And this prayer is not a wishy-washy request that Paul makes. Particular Greek grammar construction, one textbook explains that this is a polite request. It's a polite request without necessarily a hint of doubting what the response will be. There was no doubting on the part of Paul that God would give this peace despite the circumstances of life of the Thessalonian believers. True peace is not in the realization of our ideals. Peace does not originate in and around man. And then where shall we find this peace? Where does it originate? Well, according to Paul, only place we can find true lasting peace is the Lord. You see, peace doesn't originate in and around man, but peace originates from the Lord. It originates from the Lord. Again, in the original, the word himself is placed in the beginning of the sentence, and it is quite significantly emphatic. And who does this himself refer to? Paul says it is the Lord. It is the Lord. May the Lord himself. While the word Lord can be taken either God the Father, right? God the Father is the Lord, or Christ, who is the Lord. But here, Paul's consistent use of this word Lord in this epistle points to Christ as the Lord of peace. Here in this verse, verse 16. Usually, Paul says God of peace. That's found in many places, right? But here in particular, Paul specifies this Lord of peace, referring to Christ himself. And I wondered why. I wondered why he would do that. It's not like he's not thinking about other members of Trinity at this point. Because in this particular epistle, in chapter 1, verse 2, actually, Paul refers to God, the Father, also giving the peace. It says, grace to you and peace from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, at the end of this epistle, Paul uses the Lord of peace, referring to Christ himself and he alone, in a sense. And I wondered, again, why? And I think, at least I can tell you specifically two very reasons why he would use the Lord himself, Christ Jesus, as the origin of the source in all circumstances of our lives. That reason number one is this: work of Christ provides peace to us. The work of Christ provides peace to us. In order to have lasting peace, that the peace that doesn't depend on circumstances of our lives, we must embrace the work of Christ on the cross. We must embrace the work of Christ on the cross. It is Christ who has reconciled us with God and brought us peace for us. As Paul writes in Romans 5:1, he says this, Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. His work on the cross and his resurrection is the only way for us to have reconciliation with God. It is the one thing that appeases God's wrath. His work is the only thing that provides access with the Father and peace with God. And this is exactly what the Thessalonian believers did, right? We see that in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. They were serving false gods, the idols, but now they repented and they turned to serve what? The living God. Living God. Because they have accepted. They have believed the gospel that Paul and the others brought to them. No matter how difficult our lives may be, we have the confidence of heaven because of the work of Christ. It provides the basis for the peace in our lives. You see, if there is no peace with God provided through Jesus Christ, there is no hope of ever having true peace, true lasting peace. We know that we all are sinners waiting for eternal judgment at the end of our lives. And a sinner is unreconciled to him would never have peace. Paul says in Colossians 1:20, Paul says this, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, in Christ, and through him, through Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1:20. Isaiah writes this in Isaiah 57, verses 19 to 21. Says this, peace, peace to him who is near, who is far, and to him who is near. So whether you are far away or whether you are near, peace, he says, says the Lord, and I will heal him. The promise of peace is given to those who are far, those who are near. And it continues, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters
toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. Isaiah 57, verses 19 to 21. In fact, Paul quotes this very verse in Ephesians 2, 17 and 18, saying exactly the same thing. There is no peace for the wicked. So then if one desires to have peace at all, he must come to God through Jesus Christ, right? Unless he does so, only peace that he can possibly experience is nothing but a delusion. Nothing but a delusion. Not only what he did, what Christ did, provides us peace, but also who he is. I mean, really, who he is provides the reason for the origin of our peace in Christ. You see, the person of Christ provides us peace. Think about this for a moment. Christ is the sovereign Lord, right? Christ is the sovereign Lord. Can I get some response, right? Okay, thank you. I need some reaffirmation, you know. Christ is the sovereign Lord who accomplishes what he desires to do. Correct? Christ is the sovereign Lord who accomplishes what he desires to do. No one can prevent his will to take place. No one can prevent his will to take place. He is omniscient. So that he knows all things. Nothing is hidden from him. He is omnipotent. That he can do all things he wants to do. Nothing is impossible for him. And these are just three attributes of Christ. And there are more. But considering all his attributes, we can safely conclude that Christ in his divine nature never fears. Never fears, never worries, and never is stressed. What do we call him during the Christmas time when we read Isaiah 9:6? He is Prince of what? Prince of Peace. He alone has such perfect peace. There is no one else but Christ who has such peace. And this is why Paul speaks of the Lord of peace as the origin of our peace. Seeking peace elsewhere is nothing but a waste of time. When you are stressed, when you have fears, worries that could make you down, and these things take away the calmness from your heart and mind, there is only one place for you to look for peace. You cannot find it in your family. You cannot. You cannot find it in your friends. Not in your workplace or in your possessions or circumstances. It can only be found in Christ alone. Then there is a pressing question for us to ask, right? Do you know Christ? I mean, do you really, really know Christ? If you seek peace yet have not found it, you need to come to Christ. Come and know the peace that he alone can provide. Know that your sin is preventing you from having complete and lasting peace. So you need to know Christ as your Savior. You need to know Christ who paid the penalties of your sin. Because his work is the basis of having, for you to have the true lasting peace.
And in Him alone we find the true lasting peace.
And if you do know Christ, yet you lack peace, you need to look to Him. You need to look to Him.
You need to cling on to Him who has perfect peace. Because He is God.
Christ in His personal character has provided you with eternal peace. So we must focus on Him. Not in the circumstances of life.
Not in what our abilities to bring solutions to life.
But in Christ, who can provide you the eternal peace.
In order to live our lives filled with peace instead of filling our hearts with worries and fears, we first must look to Christ to find the true peace, because He alone is the source of peace. But how do we get this peace? How do we gain this peace from Christ? Do we need to do something for Him? Do we need to do something to get it?
In the beginning, I said four reasons, right? Here's the second reason.
The second reason why we can live peacefully is that we know how we get this peace. You see, because it is a gift, we can live peacefully. We can live peacefully. Paul's words are encouraging. He says this, "May the Lord of peace grant you the peace." May the Lord of peace grant you the peace. As I said, this is not a wishy-washy, wishful thinking, right? I don't know about whether you would give us the peace or not, but if you would, please, would you please? Type of deal. Paul was confident. There is no hint of doubting that God would do this. Paul is saying, in other words, I have confidence in you that you would grant them the peace, so I come before you with this request. I know you would do this. I know you will do this for the Thessalonian believers, so I come before you humbly asking to give them this eternal, lasting peace. The idea of Lord giving peace reminds us of the futility of ever achieving peace through human effort. Because it is divine in source. True peace comes only from the Lord to His people. Jesus promises that He will give us peace. When He said, "Peace I leave with you." Didn't He say that? "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." You see, we must notice that Paul prays for persecuted, troubled Thessalonian believers. Don't forget that. Paul is praying this prayer for persecuted, troubled Thessalonian believers who are encountering the difficult circumstances, right? But he doesn't pray for something else. He doesn't pray for a rescue. He doesn't pray for protection. But he prays for what? He prays for peace. I think that's significant. His concluding prayer is not a petition of relief from the persecutions or cessation of the internal confusion in the church. He prays for that inner calm and the bliss of soul that comes only to those who have been reconciled to God through the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew. That removing the obstacles of life is not the answer to peaceful life. Rather, trusting in God who can bring true peace into our lives is. So Paul petitions to the Lord, knowing well that it is His will to grant
his people such peace. Paul elsewhere taught this, huh? Doesn't the word of Paul come to your mind? That you can find in Philippians 4? Paul says, be anxious for nothing, right? But what? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray to God in times of your anxiety. That God will do what? It says, continue to say this in verse 7 in Philippians 4. And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will gird your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul's desire is to see Christ, who is the source of all true peace, to grant the believers in Thessalonica that peace. He knew it is more than possible to have such peace, ruling over the hearts and minds of the people of God at all times. We have seen two reasons so far. We can live peacefully because we know the source, and we can live peacefully because we know that it is a gift. Now, the third reason is this, because we know it is available. It is available. We can live peacefully. We can live peacefully. After Paul expressing the content of his prayer, that is, grant you the peace, that's the content of prayer, he adds two prepositional phrases. And the two forms the two-part answer to the question, when we can have this peace? When can we have this peace? He answers, first, is that the peace is available to us at all times. And the second is that it is available to us in all circumstances. In other words, here Paul is saying that the peace that God grants us is something that we experience unceasingly. Because it is available to us at all times, right? And it is available to us in any circumstance. Let's look closely here. Paul says it's available at all times. Look again at the verse. Verse 16, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3. It says this, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace. Continually grant you peace. Paul here is saying that there is unbroken duration of peace flowing uninterruptedly. Continually, right? Unbroken duration of peace flowing uninterruptedly. In other words, it is available at all times. This is the way he views how the Lord grant his people his peace. Having peace in the heart and mind is continuous experience of the believers. And Paul expects nothing less from the Lord when he asks the Lord to give peace to the Thessalonians. Can I be honest? Do we always have that peace? Do we always experience that peace with unbroken duration, flowing uninterruptedly? Do you? And I have to confess, I don't. And I haven't in many times. There are times, seasons of life, times comes when our hearts are filled rather with anxieties, fears, hopelessness, perhaps. So as much as we want to say, yes, we always are peaceful, the truth of the matter is that the peace is not uninterruptedly flowing in our lives.
we must realize that the fact Paul is praying and asking God to continuously give them peace somewhat implies that the continuity can be interrupted while it is always available to us. So why then would peace be interrupted? I mean, it is available to us at all times, right? I mean, God is continually giving us this peace or desiring to do so. And why do we not experience this peace uninterruptedly? And again, it's always, this is the case, right? It's not God's fault, but it's ours. As a believer having peace with God, the spiritual blessing of peace is always available to us. Always available to us. In fact, it is a fruit of the Spirit. Did you know that? Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace. It is a fruit of the Spirit that as we live our lives filled by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, we should be cultivating this fruit. This peace in our lives. And yet, when we stop focusing on our permanent condition in Christ and start basing our happiness and peace on the fleeting things of this world, we let our hearts and minds drown in anxiety and fear. I think it was Jerry Bridges who said this, used this phrase. But when we consider all things through the eyes of sense, instead of seeing through the eyes of faith, we let this happen. Our peace is interrupted. When our own figuring out outweighs our trusting God, we forfeit the gift of peace. Let me remind us again that the peace is a gift from the Lord to those who are His. Christ has provided us peace through the Spirit who dwells in us. As we let the Spirit control our hearts and minds, we walk by the Spirit, producing the spiritual fruit of what? Of peace. So what do you do when peace is interrupted? We already alluded to this just before. Paul provides a solution in Philippians 4, right? In Philippians 4, 6 and 9, I read 6 and 7, but in Philippians 4, 6 through 9, it says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, Paul urges us to pray with thankful heart to God who grants us peace. Focus on the good things that He brings to us and live out the word that God has taught us. That's what he says in a nutshell in Philippians 4, 6 through 9. As you do that, did you catch Paul's promise? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 4:7. And he says in 4:9, the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Remember, as believers, we have unlimited access to the true lasting peace at all times. If we're not experiencing such peace, we must look to who? To our Lord, Christ. Having complete trust in His goodness and His gift of peace is readily available to us uninterruptedly. So we be willing to do whatever He desires us to do
through the power of the Spirit who enable us to do all that God requires us to do. It is available at all times. The second part of the answer to when the peace is available to us is found in the phrase, in every circumstance. In every circumstance. It is not only available at all times, but also it is available under any circumstance. Paul makes this clear as well, that experiencing the peace from God has nothing to do with the outward circumstances of life, as we already talked. Through this phrase, Paul assures us that the peace that is for us is not built on any life circumstances. Rather, it is built on an unchanging divine relationship and a divine plan and promise from an unfailing God who will secure us in Himself, who will do everything for our good. He is sovereign over all circumstances, and He is present in every circumstance. He is working through every situation of our lives. May the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. We're so weak and forgetful that when we encounter difficult situations of life, we feel that we can do nothing but to fear and worry. As if we have this instant amnesia, that we forget His goodness, that He is good and He does good, and be overwhelmed. But remember the Sermon on the Mount? Especially in chapter 6 when Jesus talked about fear and worries. He says, do not be anxious as well. Right? How does it end up? Do you remember? Do you remember? You know, look at the sparrows. Look at the lilies on the field. And do not worry about what you eat, what you wear. What should the believers be? What should the concerns of the believers are to be? What is it? Jesus says this in Matthew 6, right? Do not be anxious but what? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The only thing we need to worry about is whether we are serving the kingdom of God and propagating His righteousness through our lives. When we are doing that, there is nothing to worry about, for the Lord of peace is watching over us in every details of our lives. Right? So if our focus is exactly that, then we can trust Him doing the best thing for us no matter how the situation in life turns out to be. Remember again the circumstances the Thessalonian believers were in. Doctrinal confusions, persecutions from outside, confusion and turmoil within the church. But they can have peace. Why? Because God knows what He is doing. And when your focus is in Him, you can have this peace. Through this prayer, Paul requests the Lord to give peace to the Thessalonians who are in the midst of turmoil. He knew that God is able to provide the peace even in the hardest of the situations. And that's why Paul appealed to the origin of the peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and asked Him to grant them peace as a divine gift. Why? Because it is available at all times, under any circumstance. He adds a little phrase at the end of this prayer, doesn't he? Which in effect sort of summarizes what Paul has been stating. He says this, the Lord be with you all. Why can we have peace in life? The reason number four is this. It is because the Lord is here with us every step of the way. You see, this is the fourth reason. Because we know it is assured. Because we know it is assured, we can live peacefully. He is always with us and is giving us guidance and encouragement. Paul is not unsure of the presence of the Lord. He knows that the Lord is with us. He knows that the Lord is with us because He Himself promised that. Right? Matthew 28:20. I'll be with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13. But he prays this because he knows that the presence of the Lord is our help in the times of troubles. Many who have no peace really have forgotten the fact that their Lord is with them even when they feel like he has abandoned them. One of my favorite psalms of all time, Psalm 23. Many of you love that psalm. It says what? The Lord is my shepherd, right? And so when he takes me to walk by the valley of the shadow of death, I shall what? Not fear, not afraid. Because what? Because you are with me. Life is full of surprises. And I'm sure you all figure that out now, right? Many times what the life offers are not what we like to have. However, no matter how bitter the life we taste, we can still enjoy the peace that is ours. Because the life we live is designed specifically for us and given by God who cares and helps us. As we live to please Him, there will be abundance of peace flowing from our hearts, that there will be no place for fear and anxiety. If you have Christ as shepherd, you know that you have peace. As I said, even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the source of peace. He grants us His peace as a gift. His peace is available at all times in every circumstance. Because He is with us at all times. Life is uncertain. But I know something that is extremely certain. If you are His, you can have peaceful life. If you are His, you can live with confidence. Let us show the world around us who the Prince of Peace is. Don't we belong to this great Prince of Peace? Who is really the manifestation of what peace is all about. It's not just we are His, but we are part of His body. Living after His example. Paul asked the Lord to grant peace to the troubled Thessalonian believers. He knew that the only one who could give them true lasting peace under all circumstances is His Lord. He was confident that the Lord is able to provide peace. And I am confident that He can provide you the same peace that Paul prayed for Thessalonians. Isn't our God good? Doesn't our God do good? And if we know that, shouldn't we have confidence? Even in the midst of trials and troubles, challenges of life, that He is doing our best. Knowing that we draw great peace and comfort from Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your word and Your encouragement to us. Because You are true and what You say is true. Our hearts are troubled by many different things. But Lord, we know that You are our God, who is good and who does good. So thank You for reminding us again that we can have peace. We can have confident peace because we are Yours. And we repent for the lack of faith in You. And that we let our hearts be troubled. Help us to focus on You. Help us to seek You even more. Help us to first seek after Your peace instead of getting out of the troubles. Yes, we request for the changes and the difficult life circumstances, but even before we ask that, help us to seek Your peace in the midst of it so that we may bear great testimony for the way You are. You are the Prince of Peace. Lord, thank You for being our God, being our Savior, bringing true peace, true lasting peace into our hearts. Help us to live out the life of peace in the very lives that we live. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.